Greetings. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Cream and the Clear, a special 10th anniversary episode. I'm Gabriel Roberts.
I'm Joe Gruen.
We're coming to you from Craftsbury, Vermont. A little barn, upstairs in the barn podcast on a lovely spring day.
Lovely.
And Joe came all the way out from California just to record this podcast.
I'm flying right back.
And got in about an hour ago.
And I'm flying out in an hour, yeah. I imagine.
So I hope you guys fucking enjoy this, because
fucking took a lot of effort.
It is a lot of effort. It's been 10 years since our last... Well, there may have been some. It's been 10 years about since we first recorded,
You know, I'm not even sure that was our first recording.
It wasn't.
So I'm not entirely sure why that's an anniversary.
Yeah, but it's somewhere around there.
I feel like it was like years after.
After the first one
that we did that camping one? Was in Oakland. Or no, not in Oakland.
In San Francisco. SFF. So that would have been... 2011, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so a couple years.
Maybe 2012. So yeah, we're maybe more like 11 years out.
12.
Or 12. Yeah. Depending on, you know, when we started and then.
Which I think we have pretty well pinpointed, but
yeah,
we know the camping trip was not the first.
Yep. Nor the last. This is the last.
This will probably be the last. Yeah. Yeah. Which may make this, that's what makes this special, I think.
Yeah, and poignant.
Yeah, and
it's a farewell episode.
So crucial that we knock it out of the park, which I think we're doing a good job of in these first few minutes.
Because we're planning on unliving ourselves after this.
Unaliving ourselves afterwards. And this is a beautiful barn to do it in.
To hang ourselves from.
Oh my rafters. Lord, is this gorgeous. But sturdy rafters.
Mm-hmm.
No chance of breaking.
Mm-hmm. Could gaze out at the puffy clouds.
Beautiful landscape is the final view.
Choke to death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's probably not the worst. Well, I guess the idea is when they hang people for execution that their necks actually break, right? They drop so hard.
Yeah, the floor drops out underneath.
Is that what happens when you know, just hang yourself with the old kick the chair over?
Not really, because most of the time there's not enough, like, you know, there's a decent amount of rope give, and then the floor drops out for people getting hung in the Old West, so it's a deeper drop. Yeah. And it's a tighter tie, I think, on the noose, whereas, like, you're just doing it with, like, a belt or something, it's all ratchety, and you're not dropping that far, so you're just kind of, like, struggling.
So maybe we should get somebody in here.
Like a professional executioner.
Rig up those knots.
Know anybody around here? Town executioner?
No, I mean...
This is a small town, guys. This place does not have the amenities of the big city.
Mm-mm.
Like your city executioners.
Mm-mm. But decent sandwiches, though, huh?
Decent sandwiches,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, very good sandwich. Yeah, I'd say.
But you're still going to move to New Hampshire instead of Vermont.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think you sold me.
Yeah.
on Craftsbury.
Now, do you think that's on purpose?
I'm starting to sense it might be. I think you came in really wanting me to move here. And after a few days, just the things you showed me were less and less impressive.
I was like, hey, check out New Hampshire.
You'd like this spot, wouldn't you?
It's like at least a couple hours away.
It's not too far.
No, I really haven't made much of an effort to show off Craftsbury. I don't know. It's flown by. We've been busy. We did go to Maine because we really, really wanted to go see Beau Is Afraid.
Yes.
And so we made that happen.
We sure did.
And ate some lobster.
And we ate lobster, and I'd say all of that, I think we really enjoyed just the whole entirety of that trip.
Yeah.
Movie included.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, actually, no, I hated the movie.
Oh!
Right. I hated the movie, and our first night out was pretty rough.
It was horrible.
We just listened to, and maybe I'll post a link to the camping with the cream and the clear, which was... That one was around 10 years ago? You got a Facebook. Okay. So like that one. So this is 10-year anniversary of camping with the cream and the clear.
Right.
And we thought we'd revisit some of those topics.
Yeah.
So first we could talk about how we've gotten a lot worse at camping in 10 years.
We've gotten horrible at camping. I feel like I think back on that camping trip, how smooth it was, truly. I think we went hiking. We smoked like cigarettes, hand-rolled cigarettes out on a ridge.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah, overlooking like a sunset.
Wow.
We were...
I mean, I remember the sex, but I don't remember any of this part.
This was all the build-up. I mean, you and your one-track mind.
Rolled cigarettes, really?
We rolled cigarettes. We made sausages, made dinner for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We kept our food from foraging raccoons.
Right. Do you think we slept in the same tent?
I don't think we did.
Yeah. I think that's how that was a mistake. I think that's how
most straight men do it.
Yeah. I haven't slept with somebody other than my wife in a long time. And it was a little bit of a challenge just to be used to sleeping. But I don't remember how we used to do it when we went camping. Brought two tents?
Just brought two tents, yeah. Two individual tents.
It's like it didn't even occur to me this time.
No.
I was pretty flustered in the...
There was not a lot of planning.
Put the excuses out there.
There was not a lot of planning. Can we just say that?
Well, there was not. And it was the idea that, like, this is just, like, a quick stop. So, like, I'm not going to bring all the gear. We're not going to make food. We're going to go out to dinner, and we're just going to, like, conk out. And it's like, well, that's a lot of pressure on... Just like the sleeping experience in the tent, which the cushioning was okay. That wasn't really the issue.
No, the cushioning was fine.
I really wish I'd had my pillow.
I had a parka, so it didn't bother me as much. I thought I got a pretty good neck support.
Mm-hmm. You definitely fell asleep.
Almost instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you forgot to take your contacts out.
I did.
So there were some challenges. I threw
those away. Gabe is a bit of a kicker. Didn't realize that.
Just a bit of a snorer. Didn't realize that.
I think you did.
Yeah, right. I do now.
Yeah, and then we just rushed out of there right away in the morning, 5:30 a.m.
Oh, sorry, that's your water.
I made sure to get up and leave.
Yeah. Say goodbye to that place. Could have been cool. Could have been cool if we'd gotten there earlier, had some firewood.
Do you think we've gotten better at cooking than back then? Because we just flat out dropped our sausages in the fire in that episode. I don't think I'd make that mistake.
No?
At this age, no. No, I'd attach it better to a stick or rod or whatever we're using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've probably gotten better at cooking. I would like to think so. I still drop things in the fire, though. Especially vegetables, like if you're trying to grill vegetables. What those sausages were. I'm trying to imagine. We had one pork sausage and one chicken sausage?
No, I'm sure we had packages. They don't sell them individually.
They don't. The way I describe it. Oh, but
they
do,
don't they? You can buy sausages wrapped in like paper, like at the deli.
Just one little individual
sausages. Maybe we did do that.
That's weird. It's like a whole different era. I don't even know where I would have been shopping.
Probably Whole Foods.
10 years ago, 2013. Yeah, that was probably right. So that was when I was... Yeah, whatever. You don't fucking care. I don't care. Yeah,
of course they care.
They don't care. So what else do we want to revisit from that? Camping.
The other topics?
Pop culture.
Yeah, music videos.
Music videos.
We talked about music videos we liked.
I
haven't
seen a music video since then, so I don't think I have much to... But we can try. We could just talk about pop culture in general. We could talk about Bo Was Afraid.
Hey, that's like a three-hour-long music video.
You're right. Do they still make music videos?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, but you don't watch them.
No, of course not. I'm not 14.
You don't watch MTV at all? Do they still have MTV? Do they still play music videos on it?
They don't still play music videos on it. It's mostly reality TV.
Yeah, so they just call it RTV. Yeah, right. I was really bothered with the Blurred Lines music video, and talked a little bit about how I was complaining about it being misogynist or something. A little
misogynist because the women, they're all scantily dressed.
Right.
And the men, they get tuxedos.
Right.
How dare they?
And then you talked about your counterpoint was Toni Braxton.
The Toni Braxton video, which is basically the opposite of that.
Was that a contemporary? And was it another new video at that time? It
came about 15 years earlier or 10 years earlier.
Okay, right. Because when you say Toni Braxton, I'm imagining somebody from like the 60s, but it's, I guess 90s. She's not.
She was late 90s.
Okay. R.I.P.? Is she still alive?
I think she's still alive.
Nice.
Not in the same shape, but still out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right, it goes both ways. Objectification.
And I think at that point in time, maybe you were playing on a narrative that it was just a one-way thing that had been going on for decades of men exploiting women, women being sexualized unnecessarily.
I was a big feminist.
Were you?
No.
This is what a feminist looks like.
Trying to.
Gabe Roberts.
Sorry, guys. This is really obnoxious.
Gabe's fucking with the microphone. And I think
that's as high as it goes.
I can just see it. It's all.
Oh, God.
Noise is getting
we'll cut that out. We'll cut that out. Okay.
Well, we've certainly gotten worse at podcasting in 10 years.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Ooh, I'm just discovering a nice little mosquito bite, like, right at the corner of my armpit.
Oh, yeah?
Or a black fly bite, perhaps.
Okay. And you're getting a little scratchy action on it?
Yeah, I'm just kind of touching it a little bit.
Just massaging it?
Just, yeah.
It's like the healthy man's scratch?
Just like, you know, like, yeah, I'm not like really scratching it.
Just moving the venom
just
around.
Like, yeah, just kind of, ooh, just kind of titillating it, you know? Just like
teasing it.
Teasing it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just a little.
Yeah.
Just give a little.
And I know it's there if I want to get really aggravated and itch myself.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be there. It'll probably be there tonight.
You'll have fun with it.
Yeah. We still have our popcorn from Beau Is Afraid.
Uh-huh. Still holds up. I wouldn't mind eating some of it right into the microphone.
Yeah, sure. Knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm. Let's try this out.
Oh, yeah, it's picking that up. That's solenoid. It's a solenoid microphone, right? That's good. I'm enjoying this. I think then, as in now, I was disenchanted with popular culture, and that's only gotten worse.
So it could have been any kind of popular culture. It wasn't really the messaging of the music video. It was more just that it fell under this umbrella of something you genuinely hated.
Hmm. That's an interesting claim. Wasn't the messaging of the music video. I think that's partially true. I think that's more true. I think more true now in that my distrust of media in general is even stronger, that I automatically assume that there is some nefarious ulterior motive to anything that is becomes super popular.
So what's our negative ulterior motive? Since we're extremely popular.
Well, that's for the listeners to find out. We're supposed to pretend that we're just self-made podcasters. We're just here.
Dudes.
Yeah, just regular guys.
Duding out.
Started recording podcasts in their garage, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Started from the bottom.
And, you know, pretty average upbringing.
Middle class.
That's going to really hurt our story, actually. People want to hear that we came up from, like,
the dregs?
Super abusive relationships, broken homes.
Okay.
And poverty.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Or they're going to just want something really strange, like our backstory.
I mean, is it okay if I went from middle class life to poverty when I left home?
Yeah, that's good. That's okay. Something. They want some interest, you know? Like, imagine reading about Elon Musk and finding out that he just grew up in the suburbs of Los Angeles. And, like, his dad was a project manager and his mom was a teacher. And, like, no one's going to
I think people that. Like that more than they... Because isn't that Jeff Bezos' story?
I don't know. So he's got a pretty mundane
He had, like, story. A single mom who, like, moved him from...
Single mom.
State to state.
Moved
to
around
state,
all the time.
Went
See?
To a bunch of middle-class schools.
Yeah, that's way more interesting. We got to at least have something like that.
I think we have some of that, right? Yeah, we grew up middle-class. Yeah, we grew up suburban. But we didn't really parlay it into anything.
I mean, no sexual trauma.
No sexual trauma.
That's pretty weak.
Oh, you'd prefer that?
I think that the listeners would.
Prefer to hear about your molestation stories?
Yeah.
We could just come up with one on the spot. I mean,
well,
plenty of kids do that.
Real pop stars do. Or their handlers. Their autobiographers.
They're,
not their biographers,
Their
sorry.
Media team
yeah.
comes up with their molestation stories. And they're all... So it has to be unique.
Yeah.
Can't be the same old, hey, touch me in the shower kind of thing. It's got to be like, I don't know. My dad went to teach me how to hunt, but we went out there, and there were no deer in the area.
Oh, shit.
But there were straps on a tree.
This is where we're going to tie the tree up to gut it out later. Why don't you climb up in there, Tommy, and... I'll show you how it works.
Yeah. I'll show you how to be a man.
So take your clothes off, because deer don't wear clothes.
Deer don't wear clothes at all. No. We got to test this out with a small boy's body, which is most resembling of a deer.
Sure.
That we have. Mm-hmm. So you want to help daddy out, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Want to be a good boy. There was...
So we did do a molestation bit on the last podcast, too.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the very end.
That's the easiest way to be funny, I think.
Be shocking?
Yeah. Go for, a little shock value. A little bit of lewd, crass humor.
People love that. People cannot get enough of talking about peenies and ginies and little buttholes.
Never heard those.
Peenies and ginies?
Peenies and ginies, no.
They go together.
Yep.
It makes something beautiful.
Yep. How about you? How do you feel about pop culture in general, then to now? How do you think you've changed?
I don't think pop culture's changed a whole lot.
Right.
I think every generation likes to think that they're stumbling across something magical and new and counterculture to the last wave of popular culture, which was so flawed and so inane and so superficial.
Right.
But the new wave is always something exciting and fun and revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, just it's the same shit repackaged every few years.
Yeah,
pretty narcissism repackaged.
Yep. Do you think you are tuned into it more or less than, or about the same?
Far less. Yeah. I watch a lot of old movies. I watch a lot of old TV shows. Listen to a lot of old music.
Yeah, you're an old guy now.
I'm an old guy now.
Yeah, just set in your ways.
Yeah, and I think it's been that way for a while. Like, on our last podcast 10 years ago, I was talking about a song from 20 years prior. Like, I haven't grown culturally in any significant way. Your wife threw out that phrase neither of us had heard the other day.
Which was what?
This is...
Oh, giving.
Giving.
Yeah, that's because she's uses Instagram.
And it's on there.
On the reels. You ever seen those?
Oh, the movies, the videos, the little short clips.
Videos.
Yep.
And you can just plug your brain into those and they'll keep giving you reels from all over. It's not just like people you follow.
Okay.
So it's a pretty good way to get a sampling of what the kids are up to these days. They're weird, man. I've watched. It's really weird. They're funny. Some of them are really funny.
They're like TikToks.
Yeah. Right.
TikTok?
Yeah. I think it's basically the same thing. Probably one's owned by Facebook and one's owned by Google.
The CCP.
Exactly.
Giving. Gabe is giving rural vibes these days, I have to tell you. Gabe is giving small-town America.
God, I hate that expression so much. I've really? Only heard it like 6 times.
It is repulsive, isn't it?
Yeah.
How dumb do you want to sound to the world? I think I was... Yeah, that's what I told your wife. I was like... So the kids just came up with a longer version of the word is.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Gabe is cool. Rural these days.
Yeah.
Gabe is giving.
Yeah. It means like putting off or emanating or projecting or, yeah.
And what a shitty thing to say too, because what if you're saying they're giving mediocrity?
Mm-hmm.
He's giving.
Yeah, that's a dig.
Depression. Sadness.
He's giving suicidal thoughts.
Loneliness.
Suicidal vibes. He's giving, or you just say he's giving suicide?
He's giving suicide.
He's giving unlifing? What was it?
Giving unaliving.
Unaliving.
Unalived.
Do you think that's a real thing? That we heard that on a.
Oh, I know it's a real thing.
That people are using that instead of suicide? Yeah. Or instead of killing?
For killing, I guess, yeah.
It's more it works PC both ways.
Yes, yeah.
To say unalive?
Right, because it's important to change the word to make it softer.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes the whole subject matter soft as well.
More acceptable.
More acceptable.
That reminds me of how my mom...
Have you heard of the new term for pedophile, by the way?
No.
Minor attracted person?
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Of course. MIPs.
No way.
Yeah. MAPs, I guess. Yeah. Well, because here's the thing. You don't want to offend...
We don't want to offend pedophiles?
You don't want to other them.
Oh, my God. I thought we did.
Fucking reached that point.
I thought that's all we were doing. What do they have for white supremacists? Do they have one for them, or are they still?
No, they get to be Nazi trash.
Thank God.
Yeah,
we've still got one segment of society that we can all comfortably,
fully
hate.
Able to oppress them.
Okay, good.
Comfortably able to oppress.
The unaliving things reminds me of when we used to play GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64.
Yeah,
and my mom. Bless her heart, didn't like hearing us say, "I killed you." So there was just a brief phase I remember where she got us to say, "I set you back," or "You set me back." And I don't know if she came up with that or somebody, one of the kids came up with that.
That's fantastic.
But we could have just used unalived.
You could have done
unalived. We would have been ahead of our time.
Yeah, but you were teenagers, not retarded. So you didn't really want to come up with a stupid word like unalived.
Yeah.
Unalived, that's speaking of, you know, we played some Scrabble this week. That's like a fucking word that you fucking try to throw out there, my specialty. I just go... Well, it means not alive.
Right. Yeah. And what just else try to play it off.
Just try to get the points.
They're probably going to add it. If it isn't already, they'll add it to the... You know, they get to add words every year.
Take them out. Add new ones.
Yeah.
Change the definitions.
Yep. Unalive is going to be in there. Verb.
To kill. To not be alive. To kill. To kill. To commit suicide. It'll be like 50 different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
The more we try to like consolidate these languages, into new words, or these consolidate terms into new terms, we're confusing it. We're just taking a bunch of things that all were fragmented for a reason because they mean different things. Putting it under an umbrella term.
It reminds me of 1984, right?
Sure.
So when they put in unalive, it means to kill, then pretty soon they're going to have to try to take out kill, and then they just have to find a new definition that doesn't use the word kill to end somebody's life, to remove somebody's life.
But there's a reason why we split it between killing someone else and killing yourself. Those are two entirely separate acts, mm-hmm. with two entirely different sets of punishment. I guess the punishment for killing yourself is you're dead. But the punishment for killing someone else, it's like it's a crime. You know? Which it's important.
Is it not a crime to commit suicide?
No.
No. We should make that a crime, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, people would stop doing it.
Oh, yeah. It would disincentivize them. You're right. You're 100% right.
I don't want this on my permanent record.
Yeah. How will I ever get a job?
How will I ever get a job?
I think you might cut suicide rates down if you
made like a fine for the...
No, sure, that too.
Made life worth living?
Worth living, not as castrating. But also, you might stop it just by saying there's a fine, or like there's a fine to your family of X amount of money if you kill yourself. I don't think it'll stop all of them. But it'll certainly, I don't know, will it make it easier for the parents to at least get over the loss of the child? Like, that motherfucker cost me $100,000.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Fuck that kid.
Yeah. Yeah, rest in agony.
You bitch.
John. You fucked us good.
You sure fucked us good.
I think it's a good idea. I would certainly think twice about unaliving myself if it was gonna...
Now, are you thinking about unaliving yourself?
Right now?
Yeah, is that why you brought it up? I mean, you started the podcast with talking about hanging ourselves from the barn.
Right.
I just went with it as a skit.
Had to come from somewhere, Joe. Had to come from somewhere. I thought about it. I mean, sort of in a casual sense.
Voyeuristic sense.
Right. But it never specifically. I mean, I definitely feel sorry for myself sometimes. And that's like the furthest extent of feeling sorry for yourself, basically.
Yes.
No, I'm just gonna...
You do your little suicide.
I'm just gonna kill myself. But then I'm like, eh.
Yeah. I think there's so much more that goes to killing yourself. Like there are patterns.
Here you go, sticking up for the suicidals again.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just saying there's more to it than just the, I feel bad about my life.
Yeah.
It's more like, I feel bad about my life and I'm going to make everybody pay.
Right.
Or I'm going to get everyone to notice.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be sorry.
Yeah.
When I do that.
Yeah.
So there's almost like a maliciousness to it.
I think.
Very subtle.
Then there's also, I think it's, I'm sure there's people that are just like, I've tried. Eh. I've tried and this isn't about anybody else.
Oh, sure.
You know, and this is my life to take. And it's like, well, that, I respect that.
No, I respect that too. No, you're right. You're right. It's not as clear cut. It's like some people are in incredible amounts of agony.
Yeah.
They cannot figure out for the life of them how to make a life on Earth.
Yeah.
They figure, well, shit, what's next cannot be worse
than
that. However, there's still a level of selfishness there.
Right.
There's a level of...
If you have some family, particularly, right?
If you have people that care. Now, if you have nobody that cares, it's like, who gives a fuck? Go for it. No one will ever care. And power to you.
Right.
For doing it. But then, are you really trying to find people who care? Because what if there are people out there who care about you, or who would care about you if they got to know you?
Mm-hmm.
I've met so many wonderful people here in Craftsbury.
And they don't want you to kill yourself.
None of them have indicated that. So, you know, it's right? Sometimes it's just out there. So if you're out there thinking of killing yourself, listen to this podcast because you've been a loyal listener all these years, and we've let you down, I'd say, over the last 10 years.
You made it, if you made it this far, like, you're good.
We haven't...
Sorry for all those that didn't make it this far.
Well, we also just haven't given you content.
Not a bit.
To keep you going.
Nor condoms.
Nor condoms.
Never shipped those out.
No, and we promised quite a few times.
I thought about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a condom in that Beau's Afraid movie, and I just never hadn't thought about condoms in so long.
Oh, because you have a wife.
Yeah,
you
fuck without like, one. Oh, condoms. God. Those were pretty lame.
They were lame. They were lame. They were for the lamest of lames.
But that movie was so freaking, so real.
Visceral.
Yeah. It really, like, I really, like, got hit with all kinds of memories of condoms.
Was that the worst part? You think if he raw-dogged it, you'd like the movie?
No, that was by far, far from the worst part. I actually enjoyed a lot of my condom memories because it was about having sex.
Sure.
Which has generally been good.
Or delaying sex and to the point where it's not even worth doing.
Because you're fumbling with the condom.
Because you're fumbling with the condom. And
oh, God, dude.
The girl's like, holy... No. We're done here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Condoms and suicide.
Great content.
Anything else we talked about? That we should revisit?
Oh, from 10 years ago?
Sausages or pop culture.
I had a pedicure. I think that's the last pedicure I'd had.
Did you mention that in that podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was wearing sandals and you commented on it. You said, holy shit, your feet look incredible.
Wow. Why did you get a pedicure?
I was at a wedding right before that.
A naked wedding or a shoeless wedding?
Neither.
It's a flip-flop wedding.
None of the above. Just everyone decided to go out and get manicures and pedicures, all the guys and the gals. And so we did it.
Cute. Like a little bonding thing?
Yeah. A little pre-wedding bond.
Sounds pretty gay.
In this small little town in outer New York. And we went in. When you saw my pedicure, you did a little racist impression of a pedicurist.
Wow, no.
You sure did.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was...
I'm sorry.
Kind of shocking.
I'm sorry to everybody that I offended.
And, yeah.
I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And my Chinese accent was probably shit anyway. Mm. Was it? Was it not? Was it a good impression? Or?
Well, I mean, it sounded a little something like, you want acrylic? You want acrylic? Acrylic? Put on your nails, make it look shiny. Something was like that. I wouldn't.
Did you get any? Were they painted? Or they were just clear coated. Do you remember?
See, I was like, it was like a clear coat.
Yeah, you're not even getting painted toenails. Come on,
now. I'm not a.
It's a little too far.
Not out there.
That's a lot to ask from your wedding guests.
Painted toenails for the guys? What is this? A cult?
It wasn't.
No, it was a regular old wedding. But it feels like a cult. Sometimes you go to a wedding, it feels like you're part of a cult. Like,
it is, for that little few days. Yeah.
Two people are being honored.
Yep.
The families are honored, you know, everyone connected to that. Everyone's gathered from all across the country or the world to come to this spot to honor these people, to watch them pledge eternal love and devotion to each other.
Is the couple still married?
Yep.
Nice.
Two kids.
Nice. Do you ever Have you been to any weddings that since the couple has gotten divorced?
Have I been to a wedding where the couple has gotten divorced later on? Yeah. No.
Really? Wow, you're like batting 1,000 as a
wedding guest. Yeah.
Too bad you didn't come to our wedding. I was just thinking sometimes I feel like I should get my money back, you know, if I went to a wedding and then like 4 years later they get divorced.
Good call. Yeah.
Give everyone their fucking money back.
Absolutely. At least, yeah.
Or like something.
Something. I don't know.
Because we did all that for you.
Right.
Or return the gift.
Right. It's part of a fraud.
Yeah.
You've taken part in a fraud. And now, you know, gosh, that's a heavy investment too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pay for you probably rent a tuxedo.
Oh my God. Imagine traveling. Some people travel twice. Once for like a stag party or bachelorette party.
Right.
And again for the wedding. Got to get the dress or the suit, plane ticket, accommodation.
Gift. Yep.
Yeah. At least you get free food while you're there.
Right.
Yeah.
Chicken or fish.
Salmon. I'll go with the salmon.
You'll go with the salmon?
Yeah, I think I will. Unless it's in Missouri, and then I'd be like,
Maybe chicken then.
This is not the place to get the salmon.
But I fucking hate chicken, so I'd probably still go with the salmon.
Except you hate chicken. That's funny.
Hate chicken.
Except
for chicken wings. That's different.
Did you not just give me shit last night for saying Joe hates chicken?
No, see, I didn't give you shit necessarily. I think you made it like a, you know, this guy never eats any kind of chicken. He's fucking,
he'll you don't never know how put I a piece made of it.
Chicken.
You don't know how I made it. All you know is Alan was like, huh, I thought you didn't like chicken.
Wait, did she say that to me? Because you had told that to her.
I think
I had to set her straight because I'd been eating chicken.
Right. And you're like, days. What? Gabe told you I don't like chicken?
Well, and
I've just been eating chicken.
I clarified. I'm not a fan of the breasts.
Right.
I'm not a fan of, like, you know, just a piece of chicken. But if you wing it up.
Turn it into a wing.
Put some sauce on it. Yep. Give me some ranch or blue cheese. I'll fucking gobble that shit up.
Yeah.
And you saw it.
Is that really the only preparation of chicken? Do you like, how about like a barbecue chicken thigh? Does that do it for
no.
you? You don't like that?
It's too much white meat. There's too much dead, flavorless fucking chicken meat there. You take the skin off, it's like, all right, I'm done here.
Yeah.
Give it to the dog.
So you're just wings.
Just wings. Because you can get it all in one bite. You get the skin and the chicken and the meat. It's in one bite. You always get a piece of skin on a wing. Mm-hmm. Not so with the other big pieces of chicken.
Mm-hmm. Nor, and you don't like turkey either.
No, that's just a general. Skin or not.
Yeah.
Fuck turkey.
Do you like, you ever had like any other kind of poultry? Like duck?
Love duck. Big fan of duck.
Love duck.
Fattier.
Very fatty.
More flavorful. Pheasant. I like pheasant.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Cornish game hen. They're small. Uh-huh. I'm down with that.
Ah, the Cornish game hen.
Cornish game hen.
What a handle, huh?
A handle.
Okay, a name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They really got a good one there.
Yeah.
Get some respect. You get some respect with a name like Cornish game hen.
The bird.
As a bird.
The bird scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking chickens, dude, are the bottom of the...
Fucking no one gives a shit
no.
about a chicken.
I know. I feel pathetic. So bad for them. They are. If there was one here right now, I'd wring its little neck.
Oh, easily. And I wouldn't even stop you. I'd cheer you on. Chase that little bitch around this whole barn.
So you met our rabbit.
I did.
And how do you feel about... Have you had rabbit?
I have, and I love rabbit. Rabbit
stew. Damn it, we should make you a rabbit.
I'm not a fan. I don't want to eat any of the ones I've met.
Well, they're ones you haven't met. They're
that are in the freezer. I'll take some of that.
Okay, sure. Great. Well, yeah, try to remember to defrost one right after this.
Okay, have so we're going to eat rabbit tonight.
Tomorrow. Won't be ready for tonight. Tonight's pizza night.
Tonight is pizza pie.
Yeah.
Pizza pie.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll meet a gal, a Vermontian gal. My pale wife, as I've been calling her, mm-hmm. this entire trip. I plan to find my pale wife up here in the Northeast.
But there's a song, like a really kind of hipster indie song called Pale Wife.
My pale wife. She likes to go outside. She wears too much sunscreen. She puts it on our baby, and then we get down. My pale wife.
My pale wife.
It's my pale wife. She likes to go outside.
She wears straps a lot and sunglasses and flip flops, and her posture's horrible. She's expensive when we go out to restaurants.
She only eats at vegan restaurants. She doesn't get enough of that protein. We haven't had sex in about 4 years, and we've only been together for two. My pale wife
reads a New Yorker magazine.
My pale wife, she's got triple vaccine. My pale wife,
really expensive toilet paper. Like, she orders her toilet paper online from like some like special like made in U.S. organic cotton toilet paper company. My pale wife.
Too many moles.
Man, I think she's out there for you, man.
I do too. I think she already has a kid ready too.
Oh.
Yeah. just like a kid. Not anyone else's kid. It's our kid.
Yeah.
But we never have sex, so like.
People wonder.
But the kid's there.
Kid's there. So it's like.
It's ours.
You must have. You have no recollection.
It was so unmemorable.
That happened while you were watching Grey's Anatomy reruns.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like, all of a sudden, we're like, did I just come?
Did I just. I feel more tired than I was about 5 minutes
she
ago.
She lowers her sunglasses for the first time in like a month and is like, yes, you did. And then you're like, later that night, you're like, oh my God, am I going to be a dad?
No, she wouldn't do the lower sunglasses. You're not getting a good sense of this character. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm sleepy. Did I just come? She'd be like, oh, get off me. It's you're so sweaty right now. Like, oh.
You're like, I'm sitting over here, though. I'm not even touching you.
She's like, I know. I can feel your sweat, and I can see it, like on your forehead.
Have you brushed your teeth today?
Oh yeah, I guess I didn't. I wasn't planning on going out, so I thought we'd just have a day in, a day I didn't have to brush my teeth.
You always have to brush your teeth, especially when you eat disgusting fucking chicken wings for dinner. You disgusting creature.
Yeah. You're right on.
Yeah, she's.
I gotta start
there.
Thinking about this stuff because we got a kid coming.
Yeah, that's right.
You gotta be more responsible.
You've got a pale child coming.
I've got a pale child to bring into the world, with endless immuno disorders.
Right, from all the vaccines
and allergies, just endless fucking problems this kid has. But she is out there. And she's waiting.
Dude, and pale wives can, yeah. Pale women can be really sexy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, she's more ginger. I'm trying to think of a good pale. I guess.
Who, your mom?
No. God, what's that chick's name? From Edward Scissorhands?
Emily Blunt?
No, and Beetlejuice and Stranger Things. Winona Ryder.
Ah. Oh yeah, she's a pale wife.
She's a pale wife.
Classic pale wife.
Mm-hmm.
Classic main white shoplifting pale wife.
Yeah, you're right. She would shoplift. Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see you with Winona Ryder.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great.
I think that could really, you guys could really have something there.
I think this might be the nexus of our friendship, or the pinnacle of our friendship right here, that you've pinpointed my ideal wife, and it's Winona Ryder. That's, yeah. I feel great about that.
Cool. You feel like we have some camaraderie now?
Yeah, no, I feel like all of that time being your friend has finally paid off.
I'm so glad. It's a good thing you came out. How so? You gonna go back on the, get right back on the plane? Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of driving for me too. I mean, you have two flights, but I have two drives in the same day. Awesome. Gonna go to Trader Joe's again. I went to Trader Joe's before I picked you up, and I'm gonna go to Trader Joe's after I drop you off.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. What you gonna pick up?
All the stuff that I got the first time. Just double it. Just run it back.
Same thing. Yeah.
Everything. Another pack of tortillas, more chips, tricolor peppers, organic tricolor peppers.
More of that sourdough.
More of that sourdough. Organic butter. Yeah, that place hasn't changed much in 10 years, huh?
Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
No need to.
Some things stay the same.
Fucking cornered the market on pale families.
Was there anything else we touched on that we should revisit?
I mean, we didn't... No.
It wasn't much. There was not a lot.
There was a lot of dead time on that podcast of like...
Well, we were enjoying the outdoors.
Taking it all in.
Are you getting too hot in that hoodie? It's getting pretty warm up here, isn't it?
Yeah, but this actually...
You're still okay?
This breathes okay.
It looks breathable.
It actually does not...
It's like a performance hoodie.
It doesn't do much outside. I was noticing that.
Right. It's more of a fashion thing than like a actual thing that's going to keep you warm.
Feels like it made me colder.
Uh-huh.
Like it trapped cool air.
Because it like squeezed you, maybe.
Like trapped the cold air inside, right up next to my skin.
Uh-huh.
Like a freezy pack.
Uh-huh. Right.
So it's almost worthless.
Yeah.
But there's a cool little spider on it. It's gotten me to, where is it? It's right here.
Hmm. Oh, wow. It's a Spider-Man sweatshirt?
It's a Black Widow. And then I have sweatpants that are also black. My dad picks me out the
coolest stuff. Your dad got you that?
Coolest stuff.
Wow.
Just the most bizarre little brand. Is it supposed
to be related to Spider-Man?
I don't think so. I think it's just like a Black Widow brand of some off-brand. But I thought it was so funny, your daughter comes up when I'm wearing the sweatpants. And she just starts like touching it. She's like, ooh, it's so smooth. And I was like, yeah, but you don't want to touch one of those in real life. Like, mm-hmm. I just kept reiterating, like, if you ever see something like this, this one's harmless, but those are not nice at all.
Yeah.
Don't want to go petting Black Widows.
Yeah, we haven't really instilled a fear of spiders in here yet. Besides just her natural slight trepidation around bugs.
But she seemed to love these. I guess because they're not bugs at all. They're just logos.
Logos. Yeah. She's pretty into clothes and jewelry.
Well, I was thinking... Spend the last 12 minutes talking about Beau's Afraid.
Let's do it.
Which you'd hate.
Yeah, we could revisit that.
But then I was also thinking, you fucking hate Beau's Afraid.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your daughter for 12 minutes. Wow. Let's go the total opposite direction here.
That is the opposite direction.
Talk about something you love.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't, she doesn't make me angry in the same way that movie does.
Yeah, yeah.
She rarely makes me angry.
Demonic, I think, is a term you used.
Right, yeah, she doesn't have many demonic moments.
Not too many demonic qualities.
Sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night and she's standing above us, just staring.
Hovering
at us. Yeah.
Above your bed.
Her eyes are glowing red.
Her eyes are glowing, and she's just saying, Daddy, Mommy, Daddy.
That was one thing that... I wonder is about the... Now I'm talking about Beau's Afraid.
Now you want to talk about Beau's Afraid.
Yeah, what was the... With the creepy masks on the characters in the play scene? The, like, papier-mâché, open-mouthed... I guess I just didn't understand Well, one of them was like a angel of death or something, maybe, right? That was...
It's like a guardian angel, almost. Like,
but then there was... The other one was the mom of his boys.
Were they the moms? No. Oh, I don't know. It couldn't have been, because, remember, they asked where the mom was, and he said, I thought she was with you.
Right.
So that couldn't have been the mom. It was just some woman telling the story to these boys.
Did you find those masks creepy?
Very.
Yeah, super creepy.
But I think, in terms of trying to understand them, maybe they... Because the whole play is a fantasy of what he wished he'd done with his life, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That he doesn't have a decent sense of what these characters look like.
Right, they're faceless.
Like in a dream.
Right.
You just have these people who are faceless and you don't think much of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate the movie less. The longer, as time goes on. It's been a couple days now.
I felt like that would happen. And not necessarily that you'd want to see it again, which I don't think you probably do. But, yeah. He makes a movie, and all of his movies have been this way, where they hit you really hard during the movie and out of the movie theater. And they evoke a reaction, even from me, who loves his work, of disgust and anger.
But that's a good thing.
His last movie was Midsommar before this.
Oh, I remember seeing previews for that. Wasn't it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon.
Midsommar, right?
Midsommar, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
It's like a... like a modern version of The Wicker Man, you know, like a horror movie that's made in broad daylight.
Oh, yeah.
This one's made at Swedish festival.
Yeah.
Like community commune festival type thing. Yeah. And I remember the ending of that really pissed me off for a few reasons, because I believed the message that was, I mean, in my opinion, I was like, you know, trying to place a value on it, like a moral of the story, and the moral I was coming to was not something I was cool with. But then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, I'm okay with it. Movies are not made for us as individuals, and I think when you watch enough movies, you come to that conclusion that movies are not made for me individually, and we can take what we want from it, or we can get what we relate to from it. But just because it's not made for you does not mean that it doesn't have something big to say.
Who is it made for?
Usually it's for the director and the writer.
You think that's for all movies?
I would say that's for all art. Art is made from the heart of the creator of the art.
Yeah.
And what people consider to be good art is art that they really click with or connect to or enjoy. But because not all people get joy from the same things, there will never be art that impacts people or all people or a majority of people in that way. The only thing that we can hope for is art that strikes a universal chord, which I think Beau is Afraid does. It just might not be the chord that people like to hear.
Mm-hmm. But then why is it promoted if it's only made for the director or something like that?
Well, because it's not just made for the director. It's made for, you know, there are people who share experience with the director or share similar experiences with the director that will get something out of that movie. And so it has to be mass promoted so those people can find out about it.
So it's like a public service thing.
Yeah. No, totally. Totally. I think movies like that are... are like a psychological public service.
That costs $500 million to make.
Yeah. Well, that's not our problem. It's not our money. It costs us $6 to watch a piece.
That was a pretty cheap ticket. Yeah, I guess I'm just... I can see the like... I agree that art is made for the artist, or I would say for God. Like, that artists aren't necessarily making art to try to appeal to people, or... but at the same time, that is half of, like, if you make art and nobody sees it, I don't really consider that art. Or if you make art and you just put it in your closet, like, I think that's only half of the equation. Like,
100%.
It only becomes art once it's experienced by the public.
Is that true?
Or some, yeah, like... that's the way I think of it that way. Like, there's something about making art. Like, I think you're always aware of what the painting looks like, and you're always trying to separate yourself from the creative process. Like, sometimes painters will look at their paintings from a mirror. Like, they'll put a mirror on one wall so they can look at their painting sort of flipped because that helps you sort of separate yourself from it. Like, you can't really see it. It helps you maybe be able to see it the way that somebody might see it that didn't make it.
Sure.
So put yourself in the eyes of the viewer. And so I think that's half of art is, I don't know that it would, like, I think that's kind of bullshit for artists to say, like, yeah, I just make art for myself. And it's like, maybe that's true in some cases, but I think that that's generally, not the case. I think almost all artists are, like, almost obsessed with what people think about it and their reaction to it.
I'm not sure of that.
Well, if it's really just for you, then why would you want it in movie theaters all across America?
That's a good point. I think there's a wide range between being obsessed with making art for other people and making something that you know can be enjoyed and can be valued by other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a big difference between those two things. I don't think they are one and the same. And I would almost argue that the artists that are obsessed with making art for other people are often not making real art.
Mm-hmm.
They're making commercial art.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess, you know, where this ties back into Ari Aster is... I know for a fact he makes films for other people. Like, he makes it for himself and knows that other people will get something out of it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
a lot of his art is based in shock,
mm-hmm.
and creating trauma on screen for people watching it. But at the same time, I don't think he has any level of concern over whether people like his films or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if everybody hates this film, which it sounds like a lot of people might,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to affect him at all.
So then I just wonder why it's playing, or how it comes to be playing on movie theaters. Like, and how does he get the money to make it?
A24 gave him the money to make it.
Who?
A24, the production company that made his film, that's made all three of his films.
Where do they get their money from?
Well, they're a big movie production company that makes a lot of movies that generate a lot of money. That they're probably the premier independent or auteur filmmaking production company.
Mm-hmm.
and he's made two movies on far smaller budgets, mm-hmm. with, you know, smaller casts, that have made well beyond what the budget was, money back for A24, which gave him the opportunity to make this film the way he wanted to make it. And he took no notes from the production company and was not willing to make any sacrifices and just made the movie he wanted to make. Which gives it kind of like a experimental student film run amok right. feel when you're watching it.
Right. Yeah. I don't quite know what to think. I guess I don't... Yeah, I guess I just don't know what to... I don't know exactly what to think about it. But I definitely won't forget it.
And maybe that's the point.
Yeah.
To make a film. I think there's some truth to that. I think that one thing that all artists share is maybe not that they want to make art for other people, but they want to be remembered for their art.
Well, that's the same thing, right?
No, not necessarily.
Well, if no one sees your art, how are you going to be remembered?
See, but you keep going back to, like, nobody seeing it. That's not what I'm talking about when I say making art for other people. Like, there are people who make shows and movies that they know people will enjoy. And they give them the lines that they want to hear and the plot lines that they want to see and the endings that they want to experience and the feelings they want to walk out of the theater with.
The old crowd pleaser.
Yeah. I think that most movies and TV shows are made that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what Beau Is Afraid is at all.
No, definitely not. Kind of the opposite.
Exactly.
It didn't please me at all.
No, I don't think that was the point. Although you laugh during it, it's funny because that's what makes that such a frustrating film for a casual moviegoer, is that you find yourself laughing throughout it.
Well, until I got exhausted by it, I wasn't laughing near the end.
I heard a laugh at the end.
Maybe I was just trying to cope with the trauma.
No. It was the picture of the mother.
Oh, yeah. That was
you
funny.
Laughed at that. You know? So that's what kind of can make it a frustrating movie for casual moviegoers. They just kind of find themselves wanting to hate the movie because of how the underlying feeling that it gives them when they leave the theater. But they find themselves laughing throughout it.
Right. And so unable to there to just experience the full trauma of the thing.
Well, the full spectrum of emotion attached and to watching a movie.
Yeah.
And then they find themselves unable to reconcile both of those feelings.
I mean, I can reconcile it. It was a fucked up movie that had some funny parts.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was steamed up after that thing.
Sure were. Demonic
was what you said. Yeah, God, some of the shit they showed was... Yeah, and I just can't see the value in that, I guess. Or, I guess I can't really see the value of it. Like, I think that life itself is intense enough for people. Like, I think people have enough trauma in just day-to-day life. And I think that people's ability to, like, build a better, you know, world and future and life depends in part on them not being traumatized all the time, like.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have a hard time when something like that is put out there, and it's put out with the trappings of art to make people think that, okay, this makes me incredibly uncomfortable and uncomfortable and frightened and disgusted and makes me want to, like, and yeah, right, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet because it's got Joaquin Phoenix in it, and because it's made by this sort of intriguing filmmaker, there's something here, you know, there's something deeper here for me to understand.
Okay.
If I can sort of just get over my, you know, yeah, exactly. And I just don't think there was anything
of value there
to understand.
Okay.
That would...
Do you not see any message in that movie at all?
Well, like you say, the message of you can't escape your demons. Isn't that what you were saying was like...
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent. I mean, the movie's about guilt. Mm-hmm. And family, passed on guilt from family. And the idea that you cannot escape that without confronting it directly,
mm-hmm.
I think is a real... I think mm-hmm. that's a real thing that is just basic psychology, that you can't run from emotions that fester over time that have to do with your family. That's just too powerful.
But I think you could drive that message home very effectively without like people drinking cans of paint or stabbing, you know, giant penises repeatedly or whatever.
Sure, you could. But
then it wouldn't traumatize people.
It wouldn't be the same thing. Yeah, no, maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it wouldn't.
But what's the point of traumatizing people in the process of teaching them that they can't escape their guilt without confronting it?
Because there's a certain
exorcism. It's like while you're trying to teach your child something, you like spank them repeatedly, and then that.
That's not what I said. there's a certain level of exorcism of all of that through trauma.
Exorcism of what?
Exorcism of negative emotions and hang-ups and fear and anxiety surrounding that trauma and guilt, which the lead character undoubtedly experiences. He's, you know, first image that we get of him is in a therapist's office and then walking through a city that's clearly fucked up and locking himself in his apartment complex that sucks in his shitty little room and making himself a microwavable dinner and then trying to get to bed at a decent hour and feeling trapped mm-hmm. in his own life,
mm-hmm.
I think is a byproduct of anxiety and fear. Mm-hmm. And for him, at least, anxiety and fear that has to do with his mother directly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way to confront that and to get over it is to confront his mother
mm-hmm.
and work it out.
But yeah, I guess I just like there is you could have all of that without the like, you know, commando like shooting himself through the shoulder with a machine gun, like in close up, like in the most incredible realistic.
Sure, you can make that movie a variety of ways. You can make it more realistic and less surreal. You can make it completely clean, and not, you know, with anything traumatizing or freaky on screen. But is it the same movie and does it have the same impact? And I don't know that it does.
No, of course. It's completely different.
Will it cause anybody to actually, you know, confront their own personal demons or traumas if they watch a watered down version of what we're talking about here?
Well, it could still have the same level of acting. I mean, you could put the money and the work into, you know, making it just the part of it that was real, which was the real. I guess I don't see the point of that. Like, that doesn't make me all I remember. Like, to me, I would have remembered and maybe gotten something out of the human story more without all of the violence and gore.
I think you, like most people, would have watched that movie and been like, oh, there's another one of those movies that, you know, deals with, you know, wraps everything up in a bow at the end. And like,
well, I'm not asking for it to be wrapped up in a bow. Like, all I'm saying is if the message...
I think it becomes more forgettable.
If the message doesn't have anything to do inherently with, like, stabbing giant penises or whatever the goriest shit...
You're talking about this shit like there aren't other movies out there that have these incredibly traumatic scenes, or other pieces of art.
No, there are.
That have incredibly traumatic works. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking of, like, Lord of the Flies.
Right.
And how they, like, push Piggy off a cliff.
Right.
And how they, like, rip Simon to shreds, and there's some, like, insinuation of rape there.
But I'm not saying Lord of the Flies is a good piece of art.
And maybe it's not. But I bet I can pick a piece of work that you like that has some sort of traumatic element to it.
Yeah. But there's a... I think that it's important that the traumatic element have a purpose. And I guess I just don't see the purpose in that movie. Like, it was just so over the top. And I mean, I think that there was... I think that was an element of the comedy, maybe. And I think that...
It is a comedy.
Like, some people in the theater...
Really know, liked it.
Enjoyed that.
Wow.
And that's... And to me, that is just... Like, I think about my daughter, and I think about how we are when we come into this world, and how... Like, she saw a few Halloween decorations when we were in Buffalo. Like, those big, like, inflatable... Whatever witches and stuff that people have out on their lawns. And that was super intense, you know, and she was talking about that for months.
You know what's funny, though?
Stories about that.
You know what's funny about that?
What?
I was wearing my Rob Zombie shirt the other day.
Mm-hmm.
She was sitting on my lap and we were reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
She points to one of the skeleton faces. And I remember thinking, like, before I came on the trip, like, okay, I'm going to wear this when we're out in Maine, because I don't want to wear it around her kid.
Mm-hmm.
Around your kid. I don't want him to freak out or something. I wouldn't know what the reaction... Completely forgot. I'm just sitting there with her. She points to the little skeleton face. She's like, I like that face.
Yeah.
I like that face. It's got a little... He's got, like, a smile. Uh-huh. I think. And I just thought, that's incredible.
Well, she liked it because you were wearing it, probably.
But it's probably the same kind of skeleton thing that she saw out and about.
Right. But, I mean, the level of sensitivity that we... have when we're born, you know, compared to that
shit. We cry over everything when we're born.
Right.
Everything.
Right. Compared to that guy in the movie theater who's laughing at, and I'm not saying that makes him a bad person or that, you know, I'm just pointing out that there is something
desensitivity.
Yes. Desensitivation. That happens to us, and a certain amount of that, I think, is natural and is a part of growing up. But I think that the other thing we talked about is how I think that a movie like that, that if it was in the movie theaters 50 years ago, would have been completely unacceptable, and people would have been in uproar over it. I mean, people were in uproar over a lot tamer shit than that, right? Yeah. And again, like, what's the point of that? Like, what's the point of making people more tolerant of like disgusting sort of subhuman, like, awful shit?
Maybe to teach them that they can't control the world.
Well, we do control the world.
Not as individuals.
Well, of course we do.
No.
Well, we control our experience of the world.
Sure.
And the world is a, you know, is a collective result of all the people that are here and our consciousness.
Sure.
So every little bit, everybody, you know, we're all, it's a co-creative thing.
Like, of course.
Not, there's not one person that's in charge of it.
Right.
But I think that, I don't think that's true that we don't control the world. And I think that...
Not as individuals.
Right. Well, but I think that a message of... I mean, I would like people to feel more empowered to, you know, make the world a better place rather than less empowered.
By banning art they don't like?
No. By, I don't know. I mean, by creating beautiful art.
Sure.
Or nothing's... by growing food or...
Yeah, I mean, that movie's not stopping you from doing that at all.
No, but you're saying it's... Maybe to teach people that they have no control over the world. Like, sure. I just don't think that's a...
I don't know that that's the whole point of the movie, but...
Okay.
I would say I'd say that's a part of it.
Right.
And of movies like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just don't... I don't think that's a good thing. I think
I do. See, I don't think that it's a good thing to have people walking around trying to impose their sense of right and wrong or of value, what is should be a value or what should be viewed or what shouldn't be a value, what shouldn't be viewed on the rest of the world. I don't think that's a good thing at all. And I think it's resulted in really horrific shit in the past.
Labeling
someone a witch or labeling someone a demon and burning them at the stake or throwing them off a cliff or killing them in public or ridiculing them in public or in the name of creating a society or a bubble that only has the things that that person or that group of people wants in it.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I think people should be allowed to make whatever kind of art they want to and have whatever kind of ideas they want to. I guess I'm more trying to stick on the point of like the desensitification of, or that creep of what is acceptable to see on the screen and what is acceptable human behavior. And I think, like, I was thinking about that, how we were listening to that event that happened in the New York subway and people talking about how outrageous it has gotten to ride the subway,
mm-hmm.
and how people by and large will just sit back and watch people get fucking, you know, abused by some crazy on the sub.
Sure.
And I think that goes hand in hand.
Decades.
Well, didn't they all say that it has gotten, like, markedly worse in the past few years?
The ride on the subway has gotten worse, but the reaction to that level of extreme crime has been around for decades.
Yeah, but I think that 50 years ago, people had a lot more, they were a lot more confident and comfortable to stand up and say, hey, that's fucked up, cut it out. No,
there were a lot of...
People don't even reprimand their own children these days. For fucking throwing...
That's laziness.
But no, it's the same thing, dude.
No, I mean, that's...
People don't have... They don't want to be called incensed. They're too afraid of being politically incorrect to stand up for what's right.
Yeah, but some of it is like, my kid to not feel limitations at all in life and grow to be the perfect version or the complete and full version.
I mean, whatever flowery
themselves.
Bullshit they've been fed that they're buying.
Sure. So there were a lot of stories from like the 70s about like women getting raped in alleyways in front of like, you know, tenement buildings and people like being taught to like yell fire instead of rape or like I'm being raped because that would attract more attention.
Yikes.
So like this kind of approach of self-insulation mm-hmm. from crime that exists outside of yourself, that's been around for generations.
Yeah, but something I think it's related to people seeing it in TV and movies. I think makes you inherently, even if like you say that movie's not glorifying that, no one's saying this is good. No one's coming out of that movie saying they want to go, you know, drink paint.
Right.
But I think that it has a psychological effect in the same way that we, you know, that we see people as they grow into adulthood being able to sit through a movie like that and laugh at it is if they had never seen anything like that before, like that would have blown them completely out of the water and like...
Sure.
They would have ran screaming, and I barely hung in there. You know what I mean? Like I had to close my eyes at a lot of parts where I just couldn't look at the screen. And I think that the more you watch things like that, then the more you build up your tolerance that you're able to sit through something like that.
Sure.
And I think in the same way, you're able to sit on your hands in the subway and watch somebody.
That's totally different. I think.
I don't know. You're
Nothing
seeing something.
Happened. Yeah, but
and you're saying this is okay.
No one's getting hurt on screen. If you're in a subway and someone's getting attacked...
Well, so you should be more inclined to do something.
100%.
Yeah, and people aren't.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with watching these kinds of movies or depravity on screen.
I think it does.
I don't see the connection at all there.
Well, they've both moved at the same... I think they both have progressed in the same direction. People have become more tolerant of what they see on TV, and they've been more tolerant of what they see in the public realm. And... So whether or not they're related, I can't, you know, I can't prove, but I think that they are.
I mean, maybe there are some people who will sit back and, like, laugh at a beating on a subway.
Right.
And maybe those people are left depraved as a result. But I'm not getting the sense that normal people...
I don't think anyone's laughing and shit on the subway. I don't know.
I've seen videos of people shooting a beating in the street and laughing. Oh, absolutely.
God, man.
So there's that, too, but... I think those people are generally fucked up to begin with. I don't think watching a movie... I mean, Bo is Afraid has only been out for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen more fucked up shit in the last 2 weeks than I've seen in the prior years. Like,
well, yeah, I don't think it works
that
way.
There are fucked up things in the world already.
Of course.
Prior to these movies that exist then after these movies are released.
Right.
But I don't get the sense, that there's a connection. I think there's a big difference. I think what motivates people not to do something about an attack on the subway is that they generally have a sense of self-preservation that keeps them from doing it. I think that's at the heart of it. Right. I don't think what's at the heart of it is, oh, I've seen this before on a screen. Mm-hmm. Let's sit back and take a load. Most people will turn their face from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they really, if it really desensitized them to it, they'd just sit there and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people do. I think people turn their heads.
Yeah, try to it's
separate
not happening,
from it.
And they're just
like, it's not happening.
It's not my problem. I just want to get on with my day.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see that for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't have the answers to all this. I mean, maybe there is a correlation.
Right.
All I know is I can watch a movie like that and walk out of the theater and still think about it. And I think that that means a hell of a lot to me these days, when every movie that I see, for the most part, gets forgotten.
Right, because it's just some Hollywood formulaic shit.
Yeah, like your dad was asking me, because he never finished the Game of Thrones mm-hmm. series, what happened to this character? What happened in this storyline and this storyline? And I found myself struggling to remember. And that was an epic. That was like the biggest show five years ago. And I think I watched it a couple times over. I cannot remember for the life of me what's happened to some of these characters. They're just not... It's forgettable.
Care. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was definitely memorable. And I guess... I see... I don't know. I guess I'm more... And I know you are kind of too. Like, have some conservative tendencies. And I guess that... I think that that's like... You know... I can't imagine ever wanting my daughter to see that movie.
Sure.
I don't want my wife to see that movie.
Sure.
And, like, I just think that's crazy that there's something like that out there. Like, so what is the... I mean, I guess it's just not for me. That's all I can say. It's not for me.
Sure.
And I'm glad that some people enjoy it. That's all I really need to say about it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, good.
Well, any parting thoughts about Vermont or New Hampshire or Maine or Sacramento or anything you want to, from the outside perspective, what do you think about Vermont versus Sacramento?
You get six minutes to shit on Vermont is what you're telling
me? Sure, you get as long as you want.
No, it's not much to shit on. It's a nice rural community here in Craftsbury.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of woods. A lot of country living. Small town. You know, community.
Yeah.
And tight-knit groups of friends.
Yeah, I guess so.
And all of that, you know... how many more of these can I come up with? you know, no fucking movie theater, that's for sure.
No movie theater, no.
But they do have a general store.
Mm-hmm.
It would take a lot to move out here.
Mm-hmm.
It would take a definitely a level of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And passion for mm-hmm. for moving to a place like this.
Mm-hmm.
I see the benefits, mm-hmm. no question.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
I don't think the Gabe of 10 years ago would have given two stinks about that movie.
I don't think so either, dude. I don't think so either. And you think that's, you don't
and
think
maybe
that's, a good
that's
thing?
An impact. No, I didn't say that at all. But maybe that's an unforeseen impact of moving to a small town.
I don't think that's a small town thing. I think that's like a more awareness of what's going on in our world. And
but maybe that's an impact of moving to a small town.
Right. Maybe. Maybe. Yep. Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Vermont.
You might start hating movies.
Maybe I'll just hate every movie I ever valued and enjoyed.
Right.
I mean, there's,
no, that
there's like
been...
a list of 10 movies. And I'm not going to say they're more fucked up than Beau Is Afraid, because I think I told Crunch this after I went and saw it. I said, that's the most fucked up movie I've ever seen. I said that.
And Gabe is going to love it.
And Gabe is going to adore it. But there are other movies. There's movies, like, so many movies that I really value and treasure that make you feel bad. Their intent is not to make you feel good.
Right.
Their intent is to make you feel bad and even feel a sense, or experience a sense of trauma.
Yeah.
Requiem for a Dream is a perfect example of that. Which is an unbelievable movie. Like, from just a pure... from all angles.
Yeah, I think they can be well done. I think Beau Is Afraid was very well done and definitely had some smart people making it. But I think it's the idea of social engineering, and if these sorts of things are part of social engineering projects, or if they're just,
I doubt,
you know,
it.
Art.
I think this movie runs very counterculture. The engineering does
you
not
mean like Manson?
Yeah, right.
Charles Manson.
Like Charlie.
He was counterculture.
But no, I don't think that, you know, I think if there's some social engineering, it's not to get people to feel, sit through a 3-hour movie about mommy issues. I think it's about having them sit through a 3-hour movie about superheroes and
just
coming out on
come
top.
Come out dumber than when they went into it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely
of,
that.
A lot of dumbass one-liners, a lot of not funny or fun material, a lot of...
Yeah.
Computer-generated images. Yeah, I think that's what is more on the plate or docket if we're talking about engineering people.
I think that there's social engineering for the people that know about social engineering. I think there's social engineering for me. I think there's all different layers of it out there. And I think that it's all designed to capture people's attention and sort of divert it from, you know, the things that will actually save us and keep us distracted and, like, confused and separated. And so you need all kinds, you know, the one type of movie isn't gonna do that for everybody.
So you think the social engineering is distracting people from their everyday lives and living their life.
Yeah.
And fulfilling their life's mission.
Yeah. That's part of it.
Do you think Beau Is Afraid had something to say about that?
Something to say about social engineering?
About distracting from your life's mission? About making you maybe afraid or isolated from the world around you, putting you on pills, getting you in a therapist's office to kind of enhance your anxieties. in a way.
Right.
And then keep you from fulfilling your life to find your family.
What was that? That guy was a long ways away from... Well, I don't know.
Living.
It's hard to say because it's hard to say like what reality he was existing in the first place. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's hard to say what his purpose was. But no, I don't. Yeah, I.
Did you notice in that opening scene the boat flip of the little kid?
Boat flip with a little kid.
He was a little kid. He was like had a little remote boat.
Uh-huh.
And then his mother, when he's walking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Walking
yeah.
by, like
yeah,
she was like checking out the gun.
Yeah.
There's a little kid playing with a remote boat.
Yeah.
And it flips over, and the mom grabs him.
Yeah.
Kind of yanks him away from playing with it.
I did notice that. What's that mean?
Well, it just kind of connects to the end when the boat flips at the end.
It does.
For Bo. Also. There was a little, little more prominent in the film is the little white mannequin that matches directly the statue in front of his mom's house.
Yeah.
Of a woman.
I think that every little thing is significant in this world, but like, things like that remind me of like how we were taught to analyze like poetry in IB in high school,
right?
And how it was all about like finding, it was like this little like game puzzle where we found the tropes and we found the themes and oh they referenced that, and like to me that's such that I consider all of that to be like complete bullshit now.
Really?
Like, yeah, like it doesn't, but like, the fact that something,
you don't think people make art like that?
No, I think people do because they're brought up in that, they're taught that that's what art is. It's the whole idea of conceptual art where like the concept behind the art is more important than the art itself.
Mm.
And I think that's complete bullshit.
Okay.
I think that, you know, so, right. So like, I think that just the fact that we can find, you know, self-referential things like, I think that's maybe that could be interesting, but I don't think that means that a piece of art is more valuable.
No.
Or has any value whatsoever.
I didn't say that either. I was just pointing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't, that doesn't, that doesn't make me have more respect for the movie. I don't know.
I was just pointing it out. I think it's interesting that we're sitting here talking about like how social engineering of Hollywood movies distract people from fulfilling their life's mission, and the movie that we're analyzing here or talking about is a movie about a guy who very much does not fulfill his life's mission or his dream of what his life could be due to engineering from his mother,
right?
Who seems to own every fucking aspect of his life,
right,
including the building he lives in.
Right.
And the, the advertisements she placed him in as a kid.
Right.
And all these things you kind of discover at the end when he goes to visit his mother's body.
Yeah.
But that there is a certain level of engineering someone to be afraid and to be isolated and be alone.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, that might have been the hardest part about it, was seeing that when you get the hints of how he was abused as a child by his mom, and like psychologically just she got her hooks in him and he was never free. That was that was maybe the most tragic or hardest to watch part of it.
You know, it's funny, Mel Brooks used to have a saying about his movies. He's like, you don't have to be Jewish to watch it, but it doesn't hurt. And I kind of got that feeling from this movie and a few other movies, like A Serious Man is one of those as well.
Yeah.
Where, like, you can watch it and enjoy it as a non-Jew, but if you're Jewish, there's another level of it.
Yeah.
And I think that it's not just a stereotype about Jewish mothers. Like, there are a lot of Jewish mothers that just emasculate their sons in a way.
Yeah.
And control their sons in a way. And they combine it with, like, with like the guise of love and of care.
Mm-hmm.
But it fucks their kids up in a way, or it stunts them in a way that the kid certainly gets on a visceral level, but the mother never really cares to examine.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
So I think as exaggerated as it is in the movie, it certainly is something that I can watch and laugh and be like, okay, I know where this is coming from.
Yeah. No, I'm sure plenty of people can. I'm sure plenty of people can relate. And maybe if there is some, you know, if there is some value to that, it's some people seeing that and being like, oh shit, that's me. I need to go strangle my mom.
Sure, yeah. First or just thing get I the fuck do. Away from her.
Yeah, exactly. You know, not stop call her believing this Mother's her Day. Bullshit. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's probably, we should go swim. It's getting hot. Our water's all gone.
It's almost three.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in 10 years.
Adios.